This morning's Bible reading comes from Romans 16, verses 25 to 27. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. The only wise God be glory forever, through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for that doxology from Paul. And you are worthy, Lord, of all praise and glory, and we ask now that our meditation would be worthy of you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we'd all have to agree it's been a pretty average week in terms of national and international affairs. We had a siege in Sydney, motivated by ideological matters and religious matters, and also possibly some mental instability, depending on the analysis. Several people killed, and the perpetrator as well. If that wasn't bad enough, we had news of a massacre in Pakistan where 141 were killed, mostly children, killed by the Taliban. And just in case we were tempted to think that radical Islamists have a monopoly on terror and violence, we then heard the news that 8 children had been stabbed to death in Cairns, with the mother of 7 of those being placed under arrest. Well, these atrocities we've seen all over the news being committed in our own country and around the world in the week leading up to Christmas, a week that we might have hoped would be much more peaceful and hopeful. And I'm not going to presume to bring any quick answers as to why these things have happened, though certainly some reasons can be found and are being discussed. But there is something that comes to mind from a Christian point of view. One would think that such horrendous events would have the capacity to completely quench the spirit of Christmas. And perhaps that's the way some of us felt as the week unfolded. But when we reflect on what, or rather who it is that we're celebrating at this time of the year, nothing could be further from the truth. Well, this morning, the goal of this word is to connect the themes of Advent and mission. Advent, if you're like me, a bit less familiar with the church calendar, is the period leading up to Christmas when the church reflects on the coming of Christ, the advent of Christ, in other words, both his first coming, but also anticipation of his second coming. And this brief text from Paul's letter that Andy just read, it's actually the reading assigned in the lectionary for today, the final Sunday of Advent. And so it does bring us something on the theme of the coming of Christ. And conveniently, it also links the coming of Christ with the theme of mission. Now, if you look at this brief doxology, this statement of praise to God with which Paul ends his letter to the Romans, we notice several things about the coming of Christ and the message of the coming of Christ that Paul preached. And there are three things that I'm going to bring out. First of all, the coming of Christ brings stability. The coming of Christ brings stability. Paul writes in verse 25, "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ." Jesus came to establish us, to bring us stability. We spend a lot of time trying to establish our own stability in life, to work towards our own security. And perhaps few things could feel more stable than the morning routine of grabbing a hot drink at the local cafe. I do that plenty of times myself. And yet, most unexpectedly and tragically, that stable routine was completely broken for those who stepped into the Lindt Cafe at Sydney CBD. It was broken for those Pakistani schoolchildren, and it was broken for that household in Cairns. The stability that we work for can crumble at any moment, whether due to the fragility of life or whether due to the evil actions of other people. But the coming of Jesus addresses the root cause of the instability we experience and see in our world. In fact, Jesus spoke on this theme of stability in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 7, verse 24. He said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." So the cause of our instability, according to Jesus, is our failure to listen to him and to put his words into practice. And on the other hand, the promise of stability is for all who do listen to him and do what he says. And the message he calls us to obey, the gospel that establishes us, as Paul puts it, is not a list of rules, but the call to repent, to receive forgiveness from God through Jesus' death for us, and to shape our lives according to his word. Now, following Jesus does not mean avoiding trouble. It doesn't mean, for example, that if you're a Christian, you're going to be free from the threat of domestic terror attacks. But it does mean that even in such times, when, as Jesus put it, the rain comes down, the streams rise, and the winds blow and beat against our house, the peace of God will still rule in our hearts despite our temporary anxiety, and the promise of an eternal and a glorious future will still remain sure. The true spirit of Christmas then can never be quenched, can it? No matter how much evil rages in the world around us, no matter what trials we might be facing ourselves. And this thought must strengthen us and motivate us in the mission that we've been entrusted with to share the coming of Jesus with the world. One of the struggles of sharing the good news about Jesus with the world is that things in our neck of the woods appear so stable. People appear to have it all together. But it's in moments like this that we recognize that that is in fact a mirage. It's temporary. As Jesus said, you can build a house, you can have an appearance of stability, but the real question is, where is the foundation? Can that house withstand the stresses of the elements? Our lives are fragile, and so at times like this, the question arises, well, where is our foundation? And we as Christians know what the only valid and lasting foundation is. And so, as we celebrate the coming of Christ this Christmas, it's incumbent on us to redouble our efforts to share him with the world. The coming of Christ brings stability. Second, the coming of Christ is a mystery that has now been revealed. In the second half of verse 25, Paul writes about the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God. Several times in his letters, Paul speaks of the advent of Jesus as a mystery that has now been revealed. It was foretold in the Old Testament, and yet many details could not be predicted ahead of time. John Calvin puts it this way: although the prophets formally taught all those things which have been explained by Christ and his apostles, yet they taught them with so much obscurity that in comparison with the clear brightness of gospel light, it is no wonder that those things are said to have been hidden, which are now made manifest. Another way of putting it is that the coming of Christ brings 2020 hindsight. We all know about 2020 hindsight, don't we, in popular parlance, when you make a judgment call, you get it wrong, and you look back and you say, well, with 2020 hindsight, we would have done things differently. Politicians often use the phrase. Well, from the vantage point of Jesus coming, we can look back and we can make sense of Old Testament prophecy in a way that no one was able to before he came. The Apostle Peter puts it this way: concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. So in other words, the prophets were looking into the revelation that God had given them, and they were trying to get out of it as much as they possibly could. And it was a noble endeavor. But it was revealed to them by God in that process that they were not going to be able to unravel it until the times had reached their fulfillment. And in other words, they were serving us as they ruminated, as they looked into these things, as they wrote them down. They were not serving themselves. They were not going to independently arrive at the fullness of gospel truth without us. They were serving us. Well, what was God's purpose in keeping the details of Christ's coming under wraps for so long? Well, several reasons are given in Scripture. For one thing, it shows us our dependence on God. It shows us that we can't figure out the way of salvation ourselves. It's a matter of revelation. It must be revealed to us from God. But secondly, and this is the point Paul most often turns to in discussing the mystery, the details of Christ's coming were kept hidden for so long so that when they were revealed, the whole world would be brought together, both Jews and Gentiles from every nation, in one faith and one new humanity in Christ. Paul says this in the second half of verse 26, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. Not only Jews, it might have been obvious that the Jews were going to come to faith when the Messiah was revealed, but Gentiles as well, every nation. That was the mystery revealed. Perhaps I can illustrate it this way. At Christmas, we give each other gifts. Sometimes parents might give a large gift to be shared among all the children equally. Have you ever done that? And if the message is going to be clear to your kids that the gift is really for all of them equally, each one of them has to wait for Christmas Day in order to open it together. If one child is allowed a sneak preview or is allowed to open it before the others, that would call into question the parents' fairness. Well, God kept many details of the coming of Jesus under wraps so that when he was revealed, he would be a gift to the whole world equally. Not just to the nation of Israel, but to them and the rest of the world equally. That is, to all who put their faith in Jesus without any distinction of race or religious privilege. To stretch the illustration, Israel were custodians of the gift. They were carrying the gift for many centuries. That was God's purpose for them. They were meant to carry it. They were meant to draw others' attention to the gift. But they weren't allowed to open the gift until the proper time. So the coming of Christ is a mystery that was hidden but has now been revealed, so that all nations, both Jews and Gentiles, can put their trust in him. And if this is the case, don't we owe it to the world to share the good news? If the coming of Christ is a mystery that was hidden for so long, if the nation of Israel were charged with the responsibility of carrying that mystery, of looking into it, longing to open it, but being forbidden from doing so until the times reach their fulfillment, how much should that increase our gratitude and our thankfulness to God and our desire to share the good news with everyone that we meet, seeing as that has been God's purpose all along, that his gift of Jesus should be for the whole world. The coming of Christ is a mystery that has now been revealed so that all nations might be saved. And finally, the coming of Christ brings glory to God. In verse 27, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. And as you, that wasn't the end of the sermon, sorry. We're getting close, we're getting warm. We're warned in preaching class never to do that. Don't say amen until the end. Paul's never far away from giving praise to God. It erupts from his lips, it erupts from his pen as he's writing. He's never far away from that doxology of giving all of the praise and all the glory to God. And inasmuch as we are captivated by God's mission for the world, we must always remember that this finally is all to the glory of his name. We don't want to put the cart before the horse and think that we are the center of everything. Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but shall have eternal life. But why? So that all the praise and all the glory would go to his name. Paul writes along these lines in Ephesians. He says in chapter 1, verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, that is Jews, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also, Gentiles, were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of our salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. That is the ultimate goal, that God's glory would be praised, that we would be an exhibition to the renewed cosmos of the unimaginable grace of God, that all the glory would go to him. And so the coming of Christ, in conclusion, brings stability. The coming of Christ is a mystery that has now been revealed so that all nations might be saved. And the coming of Christ brings glory to God. These truths remain true, remain relevant, and they remain urgent no matter what state the world is in as we approach Christmas. God's gift of Jesus is still new. But he is a gift to be shared. God has waited to reveal his Son until the times were fulfilled so that people from every nation, tribe, and tongue could be saved. Could he have made a stronger statement of his love for all people? And then we must respond by sharing him with others, in getting on with the mission that he's given us. And in doing so, we honour those who came before us, who longed to open the wrapping paper, so to speak, but were unable to until the times reached their fulfilment. So let's show our thankfulness to God and respect for those earlier prophets and custodians by shaping our lives to share the coming of Jesus with everyone as often as we can.